It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, your home for Louisiana Tech sports on Rivals.com. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into some Conference USA football and talk a little Tech Rice.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Well, last week, Conference USA's football schedule started Thursday night as Marshall took on Tulsa. In Tulsa, the Thundering Herd were victorious 45-34, survived five turnovers.
Four of which were fumbles. Couldn't hang on to the ball. Had a little bit of the fumbleitis. They were able to...
Fumbleitis.
They were able to convert 66% of their third downs.
66% of their third downs.
Yeah.
Too bad that wasn't the highest percentage I heard this weekend. Louisiana Tech gave up 76% on third down. Rice... Yes, 76% on third down.
Yeah, we're not to the Rice game yet.
We're not, but like I said, that's not the highest percentage on third down that I heard this weekend.
Oh, man.
Saturday, Florida Atlantic took on Southern Miss, and some interesting news came out of Southern Miss today. Former Louisiana Tech offensive line coach, Petey Pairo, is no longer with the program. Not a whole lot more was said from it. Not even a whole lot of speculation. So there's not – no one knows anything except for probably Coach Monken and Coach Pairo. It's been a hard year, hard couple of years for Southern Miss. They lost to Florida Atlantic at home 41-7. They scored seven in the fourth. So it was 41-0 going into the fourth quarter.
Nick Mullins throws two picks, one of which was returned for a touchdown. Just brutal. Brutal all the way around, only 189 yards of total offense. They were actually 4 of 13 on third down, and FAU was 3 of 14 on third down. Both were terrible.
UAB traveled to Greensboro, North Carolina, and played East Carolina, and East Carolina was all over them.
Over 600 yards of offense. Shane Carden should be, if he's not, he's right out there at the top of consideration for the Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year. Carden throws for five touchdown passes, 20 of 30. Great game from Carden as usual.
63-14, East Carolina's victorious. Florida International traveled to New Mexico, UTEP, to take on the Miners. UTEP all over Florida International, 33-10.
Yeah, a lot of running, a lot of rushing in that game. 327 yards of rushing offense for UTEP, only 80 passing.
Then, last but not least, Louisiana Tech traveled to Houston to take on Rice, and an ugly one for the Bulldogs. 52-14, the Bulldogs fall, 24-0 at halftime. Rice scores 21 in the fourth. Seven in the third. And I think that Charles Ross is still running.
Charles Ross had a Conference USA record-tying performance with five rushing touchdowns. Look, he had six rushing touchdowns on the season going into that game. He had five Saturday night. That's 415 total rushing yards for the Rice offense. Set a new program record with 582 yards of total offense in that game.
When you look at, before we get into that, let's go into the conference standings. There's plenty to talk about the Louisiana Tech Rice game. East Carolina still sitting on top of the East Division at 6-1 and 8-2 overall. I did find something interesting that the It'll be determined to who hosts the game by, if there's a tie, by BCS standing.
Really? Well, I was
nobody's surpassing East Carolina.
No, ECU are they? Last time I looked, I didn't look this weekend, but last time I looked, they were 31st.
I can't remember where they were, but nobody's going to surpass East Carolina. So,
no,
the road to the Conference USA Championship it will go through Greensboro, North Carolina, and more than likely that victor will be East Carolina. North Texas and Rice tied at the top of the Western Division at 5-1 and 7-3 overall. North Texas owns that tiebreaker head to head. So they would be the victors of the Western Division. North Texas, East Carolina would be a good game because of how good North Texas defense is.
Don't count out Tulane. They're 6-4, 4-2 in the conference. There's still a chance. I just need Tulane to win one more game. I don't care if they finish 7-5, as long as they win one more, because I predicted 7. So 7. We need 7. 7 is the magic number.
Of course, Louisiana Tech, 3 games out of last place in the Western Division at 3-3, and then 1-5 Tulsa and 1-5 UTEP at the bottom of the Western Division. Southern Miss 0-6, UAB and FIU also 1-5. This conference is really top heavy. Has been all year. And nothing has changed.
And I don't think it'll change next year either. When you look at the teams going into next season, I think that it's going to be top heavy again next year. Unfortunately, Louisiana Tech is not in the top of the top heavy conference.
When you look at the game Saturday, we'll get into a little bit of Rice talk, and then we'll get to the break and talk more about Rice after the break. Rice held the ball for
over 40 minutes.
Twice as long as Tech.
Yeah.
40 minutes and 15 seconds to Tech's 19 minutes and 45 seconds. Tech had 4 turnovers. They played three quarterbacks played for Louisiana Tech. All 3 had a turnover.
And this late into the season, you hate to have one quarterback start the first half, another quarterback start the second half, and a third quarterback coming in running a special package like Paul Harris. You know, gosh, it's unfortunate. Harris looked good on the run. It was just unfortunate that he wasn't able to hang on to the football.
Does Harris average positive yardage on his running this year?
You know, I'm not sure.
If he does, I would be surprised. He lost mega yardage Saturday in a play. He ended with a positive yards of 12.
You have 12, yeah.
After a long of 26. Against Southern Miss, he had a positive 6 points. Where was it? Where's yards? 25. So he has 30. We'll take out the 9. So he is in positive territory. But
yeah, he's at 28.
Not a ton.
No, not a ton. He's at 28.
In 9 attempts. 8 attempts.
8 attempts. 8 attempts for 28 yards, longest 26. Average of 3.5. Not good numbers.
And, of course, Kenneth Dixon went out first play of the game with a knee injury, I believe to his other knee that he did not have injured. Again, that wasn't injured against Lamar. He went back later in the game for one play. He injured the same knee. So Kenneth Dixon, with 2 knee injuries in 1 game, that sidelined him for the remainder of the game. Without Kenneth Dixon, this offense doesn't have much.
I mean, with him, they have the running game. Without him, they didn't even have that. Tevin King, 13 carries for 43 yards. And I remember in the second half, and during the very first possession of the second half, when Ryan Higgins was inserted, they ran the ball 3 times with Tevin King and punted away. And that was kind of what the offense looked like for most of the game.
I talked about with Rice's third down conversion percentage, they were 14 for 19 and 2 for 2 on fourth down.
Yeah, they had 35 total first downs in that game compared to 14 for Louisiana Tech, 2 of which were awarded on penalties. So that's 12. 7 of the 12 were in the first half, 5 in the second half.
It was an ugly, ugly, ugly game. You take away Ryan Higgins' touchdown pass to Sterling Griffin, which, honestly, it was a 74-yard pass. The defensive back was one of the one of their better corners, fell down on the route. He was with them step for step until their feet tangled up and he fell. You take out those 74 yards and he's 8 for 15 for 60 something yards.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't a good performance by either quarterback.
Scotty Young 6 for 15 for 43 yards, 2.9 yards a throw.
And I believe he started 0 for 5, is that correct? I believe it was 0 for 5.
The it seemed the play calling was a little predictable, but at the same time when there's not a whole lot out there to throw to, what are you going to do?
64 yards. Without the 74-yard pass to Sterling Griffin for a touchdown, Higgins completes 9 of 15. Well, I guess you would call it 8 of 14. Anyway, for 64 yards.
Call in. Give us your thoughts. 888-993-7762 on the collegesteel.com hotline. Let's hear your frustrations, Tech fans. We know you're out there. We know you're listening. Let's hear from you. 888-993-7762. Let's take this break, and we'll be right back.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We're talking a little Louisiana Tech Rice before we get into the later part of the show. We'll talk about the Tulsa game Saturday on Senior Day inside Joe Ie Stadium. Jared, a couple of sponsors and we'll get more into the Rice talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegesteel.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
You know, it's obvious that Louisiana Tech's coaching staff believes that the running game is their strength, and it is. They ran the ball 29 times, threw it 30.
And with two different quarterbacks.
And we're trailing the majority of the game.
Right.
When you're trailing, you normally have to pass the ball to get back in the game. Well, if you don't have a passing game, you can't pass the ball to get back in the game.
And you didn't have a passing game from either quarterback. Neither one of them showed up throwing the ball. Higgins wasn't much better in the second half than Scotty was in the first half. I mean, he did lead them to the touchdown, but, you know, it was on a Sterling Griffin long ball. Well, it wasn't even a long pass. He just turned it into a long game because of the DB falling down. So, no, neither quarterback was exceptional.
Let's go to the collegesteel.com hotline. Joe's got a smirk on his face, and he's kind of snickering, so this could be fun.
Who's Joe?
Joe Dirt.
Oh, Joe Dirt.
We got Bobby on the line.
Hello.
What's going on?
Hey, not much. I just got a question for you guys. What is it with Hunter Lee? I know he used him as a running back. I remember his freshman year. He was a beast himself.
He was. There's no doubt. But a lot of the reason of Kenneth Dixon's success this year has been because of how big he is. He turns a lot of nothing into something. And I know that there's a lot of people out there saying that they want Hunter Lee at running back. I just don't think that's the best place for him. I think the best place for him is at slot receiver. But that's everybody has their opinions. That's what's great about this world.
Yeah, that's what makes the world goes round. I'll tell you something else, too, Xavier Woods. He was a heck of a kick returner in high school. I don't know why they don't kind of use him a little bit in specialty teams too.
That's a fair point, but you look at the weapons that Tech has put back there at kick returner and punt returner. I mean, they've done a decent job. They haven't had a whole lot of opportunities in punt return game. In the kick return game, they haven't been terrible. Xavier has done an outstanding job as a true freshman defensive back. I imagine they just don't want to get him hurt.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm friends with his dad, and his dad was thinking the same thing. Like, you know, wondering why they didn't use him. They said they talked to him earlier about it, but they never heard anything else about it.
Yeah.
But,
it's an interesting, it's an interesting question.
We're going to see a different Tech team this weekend.
What's that?
We're going to see a different Tech team this weekend.
Well, let's hope so.
I tell you, with the way Rice was playing and because of the coach's dad dying and everything and the team gathering behind him, I don't think too many people could have beat him that night.
You know, I that was going to be one of my next points in the show, and I'm glad you brought it up.
So, I believe you're going to see a different Tech team. I say go Dogs, and I'll be there rain or shine. Man, appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right.
You know, Bobby brings up a really good point. Of course, Coach Bayless' father passed away a week ago yesterday, unexpectedly. A guy that was a staple around the program, somebody that David Bayless was considered his best friend. And that shows you how much respect the team has for Coach Bayless and the effort that they put forth Saturday. Did Tech play well? Absolutely not. Did they enter a sort of a buzzsaw of a situation? I think so. What do you think, Jared?
I mean, it's hard to dispute that those things won't drive whoever the individual is that it happened to. Most people go back and look at the Brett Favre situation where he, you know, had an unbelievable performance that night, but. And then some were kind of expecting Adrian Peterson to do the same thing with what happened, unfortunate, to his son this year. With Adrian Peterson, it was a different situation completely. He hardly even knew the kid. In this case, I agree. Bailiff's dad was around the program. The players knew who he was. It's not as if Bailiff's dad from somewhere else just happened to pass away and it affected Bailiff. No, the entire team knew him, was around him, had relationships with him, and you know, the players, they played hard for him.
And for anybody that's ever we've talked about how good of a guy and how impressive Coach Bailiff was many times on this show.
He's an outstanding individual.
He was emotional in the post game of the game whenever Evan Washburn of CBS Sports Network asked him about the tough week for he and his family. So you can just imagine the way that Coach Bailiff was Monday through Friday.
Yeah, and to think that the locker room wasn't able to pick up on that would just be absurd. Not only was the locker room was emotional for their coach too. They wanted to go out and get him a victory after, you know, facing a week like that. So no, I completely agree that Tech was going into a situation that was much bigger than just a football game.
So and like I said, did Tech play well? No. Did they enter a winning? Could have they won in that situation? I don't. Probably not.
No.
Had they played their best game of the year, and Rice played the way they played, Rice was still going to win.
Yeah. Now, regardless, I will not support or argue for Tech losing 52-14.
No,
absolutely not. And I'm not saying that at all. Did Tech play poorly? Yes. After the first drive, did Tech play poorly? Yes. And that's indisputable. But I don't think even if Tech does play well and they play as well as they did against maybe an FIU or a UTEP or a Southern Miss, one of the three wins that they've got over FBS opponents, they don't beat Rice. Not that week.
You look at. Let's take that break. Actually, we have extinguished our talk of Rice. I don't think there's a whole lot more that can be said. Actually, there is a little bit more. I'll talk about defense for a second. when you look at Charles Ross's 215 yards on the ground, eight yards a carry, I would love to see a run chart of how many of those runs that he went for big yardage were on the right side of their offensive line. Tech was missing Vontarius Dora, its second best defensive end. Kendrick James, arguably their third best defensive end, majority of the game. And Andre Taylor, who has been a reserve his entire career at Tech, played his heart out. But that's where they ran, was right at him.
And unfortunately, he did not.
He didn't respond.
He didn't respond.
So that's a big question mark going forward for Louisiana Tech. Can they get Vontarius Dora back? Coach Holt said yesterday that he's hopeful and would say that he's probable for Saturday. Can they get Kendrick James back? He said he would be back next week, or for Tulsa. D'Angelo Brooks, who has been really coming on lately, was injured twice in the game. Question is still, I forgot to ask that question. It's unknown whether he'll be back Saturday against Tulsa. It was an almost the perfect storm, for lack of a better term, of what happened Saturday.
Well, and then you're facing a team that's already rushed for over 2,000 yards on the season, leading the conference and rushing 240-something yards per game, right at 200 and some change before this game.
And Taylor McCarg played the best game of the season.
Yeah, in terms of completion percentage and yards, he didn't necessarily put up a lot of yards, only 167.
But that's not his role in that offense.
Exactly. He's not a passer, completed 13 of 23. Not great, but certainly for Taylor McCarg, everything that you want, plus a little bit in that offense.
In an offense that is speed option driven, big sets with tight ends, and you're a running team, you want your quarterback to manage the game. Don't do things to hurt your team. Taylor McCarg didn't do anything to hurt his team. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk Louisiana Tech Tulsa. Then at 6:45, we'll have Mr. Bill Haston from the Tulsa World newspaper joining us, talking a little Tulsa football. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We're going to talk a little bit of Tulsa, Louisiana Tech football, senior day inside Joe Ayers Stadium Saturday. Make sure you make it out to see that one. Jared, a couple of sponsors that we'll get into it.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Tulsa has played quite a difficult schedule. Bowling Green, a team that has had a good year in the MAC.
7-3.
7-3 overall. The bad loss of their group is Iowa State. 1-9 Iowa State. The only victory coming over Tulsa. Played Colorado State, who's a bowl team. Beat Colorado State, who's a bowl team. Lost to Oklahoma, number 14 Oklahoma, 51-20. Lost to Iowa State. Lost to Rice.
In overtime, 30-27.
At home. And Rice does play pretty well at home. Tulsa does play pretty well at home. Went to UTEP, beat them by 14. Went to Tulane, lost by 7. Played UTSA at home, lost 34-15. Went to East Carolina, got shellacked, just like East Carolina does to everybody, 58-24. Lost to Marshall at home, 45-34. So they've played the best of the best in Conference USA.
They have. They've got one win on the road. They've got one win at home against Colorado State, on the road against UTEP. They're scoring 25 a game at home, but they're only scoring 18 on the road. And then they're giving up 35 on the road, and they're giving up 31 at home.
I said this before the show started, and I stand by it. If Kenneth Dixon plays, they can win.
Notice that he said they can win, not that they will win. Just pointing that out. They can win. Well, of course they can.
If Kenneth Dixon doesn't play, I don't like their chances at all.
No, I don't think they win. Period. If Kenneth Dixon doesn't play, and I think it's going to take a heavy dose of Kenneth Dixon to get the victory, even against.
And coming off a game where he had two knee injuries, to say that he'll be 100% is ludicrous. He won't be 100%.
No, I don't think so. You were talking about
if he plays at all,
and there is a chance that he couldn't or that he doesn't. And I don't know if or when we will find that out.
Speaking of whether he'll play Saturday, one of the biggest telling tales of how the quarterbacks played for Louisiana Tech last Saturday, when Holtz was asked which quarterback would start against Tulsa, he said neither earned it.
Wow. Neither earned it. Well, they didn't. They didn't. Without Ryan Higgins, 74-yard pass to Griffin, his numbers are no better than Young's. The offense doesn't. I agree. Neither earned it. It, unfortunately, and I was, I hoped that Scotty was going to get that start, and he was going to.
He deserved the start.
After the Southern Miss game, he deserved the start. And
now, should have his leash been a little shorter? If I were the coach, yes, the leash would have been a little shorter. But I'm not.
Would you have benched him after the first quarter?
Probably.
Yeah, see, I agree. I mean, the opening drive wasn't his fault. Paul Harris fumbles the ball away, and that was the best drive that they had. But it wasn't him.
They ran the ball all the way down the field.
Blake Martin actually had a couple of good carries.
And that's something that I meant to ask Holtz as well yesterday. Blake was seen a good bit early in the game, but he disappeared. I wonder if he got nicked up as well. And he's been fighting some shoulder stuff. So this time of the year, football teams get nicked up. That's what happens. That is what happens. You look at every week we look at the lines. And Tech's a 3.5 point to 3 point underdog at home to Tulsa. Over under up to 54.5, opened at 52.5. I like both those numbers. They make sense.
Boy, we were wrong about Vegas being wrong about the 17-point spread against Rice.
They knew something we didn't.
They knew something that we did not.
Made them some money. Some people started putting some money on Tech as the week progressed. They agreed with us because the line was down, I think, 15.5 at game time.
Correct. It was 15.5 at game time.
It shifted a little bit towards Louisiana Tech's favor, but Vegas made some cash on those folks.
No doubt about it.
Making it rain.
Louisiana Tech, FBS opponents. Lamar has won 5 games in FCS, but in FBS opponents, Tech's W's have 3 wins on the season combined. Tulsa's W's have 56 on the season combined. Opponent's record combined is 56-44.
The saving grace, if there is one, is Tulsa's been beaten really badly in a lot of their games.
Oh, yeah.
34-7 against Bowling Green, 51-20 to Oklahoma, 38-21 to Iowa State, 1 win Iowa State, 58-24 to East Carolina, and 45-34 after Marshall tried to gift wrap them the football game with five turnovers.
Five turnovers, and Tulsa had the lead.
Marshall had the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Marshall had to come back in the fourth quarter. No, I agree. Tulsa has looked bad when they lose. I mean, they only score 21 a game. They're giving up 35 a game. They're not very good at passing the ball, but they're also not very good at running the ball. Now, Trey Watts is a good running back, averaging nearly 5 yards a carry,
and he's all purpose yardage leader in Conference USA.
Yeah, in Conference USA, you're going to see him returning kicks. You're going to see him carrying the rock. He's got over 1,000 yards rushing for the season. It'll be a lot of Trey Watts because Cody Green is not. He's not very good. Or at least he hasn't had a very good season this year.
Didn't they replace him? They've replaced him.
Well, but we saw him. We saw him again week before the Marshall game. Whenever they played ECU, we saw him against ECU.
But against Marshall,
it was all Evans.
True freshman, right?
Dane Evans.
Dane Evans.
Yeah, Dane Evans.
He was not good either. 13 of 39, 33% completion percentage if you're keeping score at home, 161 yards, a sack, a touchdown, and an interception. Long pass of 20 yards. 4.1 yards a completion.
Boy, that's bad. 4 yards a completion. Cody Green was the quarterback for both wins that Tulsa has.
No, I'll take that back. It's 4 yards an attempt.
Oh. That's still not very good.
No. Still interesting. I've never seen anybody list yards per attempt before, but Yahoo Sports is. And since Rivals.com is owned by Yahoo Sports, I look at Yahoo Sports.
I'll just keep my opinion of Yahoo Sports to myself then.
I'm a company man.
I completely understand.
Let's take this break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk to Bill Haston from the Tulsa World newspaper about Tulsa, Louisiana Tech. We'll be back right after this.
Have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared King, staff writer, joining me here. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to Bill Haston from the Tulsa World on the line.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Well, Bill, I guess the first thing we'll start with is thanks for joining us. Bill?
You guys hear me? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you.
There we go. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
First thing, when you look at Tulsa, they were expected to be the best team in the conference, and that hasn't exactly worked out. Just talk about what's happened with Tulsa.
Well, it's like I was talking to a couple of the players about this morning. It's like they got hit by lightning from four different sources at once. It's like four lightning bolts cracked them right in the rear end at the same time from four different directions. But it's a combination of you knew that they were going to lose some big-time guys from last year. They lost 8 defensive starters who were seniors. They lost 2 all-conference offensive tackles. They lost a center who started 50 games. And then, in both corners and all 4 defensive linemen and an exceptional safety and so on and so on. So they knew they were going to have a lot of new personnel, but they really were confident in the new personnel. But they were going to play a lot of young guys. So the combination of this year playing 25 freshmen. I've never covered a team before that played 25 freshmen, but this one does. Your best wide receiver and the only receiver in the program who's a real downfield threat, he gets his leg turned around backwards in the second game of the year, and he's done. They've had dismal results at the quarterback position. The pass game has not flourished at all. And then they've lost seven additional guys who would have been starters to various injuries or circumstances, one to a suspension. So, they've just turned out to be I think they like their young guys. I know they like their young guys, and their young guys have gotten better as they've gone along. But I think ultimately the inability to execute, simple pass plays has resulted in a terrible third down percentage. And their defense had a hard time in a lot of games getting off the field on third down. And, when it goes bad, it can go bad in a hurry. And it's a lot of Tech people think that it's bad going from 9-4, try going from 11-2. Because yeah, that's what Tulsa's going through right now. And it's nobody saw it coming, not to this extent. But they got a lot of issues, and they got a lot of issues to fix before they move on to the American Conference next season.
So will Bill Blankenship, who is a good guy in this business, will he be able to survive this?
His seat, there's no hot seat as we speak, but if they go into the new league next year and they aren't significantly better, and Bill himself oversees the offense and he calls the plays. Now, will that continue in light of what has happened this season? I kind of doubt it. He hasn't tipped his hand in that regard yet. But it's certainly something we'll discuss in a couple of weeks after they've completed their season. I think there'll be some staff changes. I think there'll be some philosophical changes, certainly on offense. They seem to be on a good track defensively. They, in spite of playing all those freshmen on that side of the ball, they've gotten better. And the Marshall numbers were a little misleading, and these Carolinas are really good. And that's part of it too. Who did La Tech play in crossover games?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We talked about it already. That when you look at who Tulsa's played versus who Louisiana Tech's played, it's no comparison.
Yeah, it's like 15-5 against 1-19.
Yep.
And so Tulsa got some tough breaks and scheduling, but ultimately, the schedule's not what got them. Their inability to throw it and catch it, their inability to throw it has been the number one culprit, because in some regards, they've been pretty good, and they're the least penalized team in the conference, the second least penalized team in the country, in spite of all the young guys. And, but when you lose Kiaris Garrett, who's a big-time receiver who can stretch in defense, and you have a little bit of shuffling and instability early on the offensive line, you lose a game, you lose another game, man, that snowball just kept getting bigger and bigger, and here we are at 2-8.
When you look at the game Saturday, of course, Vegas has Tulsa favored, which we tend to agree with, especially without Kenneth Dixon, which is a question for Saturday.
Right.
How do you see it playing out?
You would think that La Tech would have all the motivation with bowl eligibility still being something they could achieve. It's senior day in Ruston. That's a big deal. You would think that the Bulldogs would be the more motivated team. Tulsa's got a proud program, and they've won a ton of games the last 6 years. And nobody wants to go down in flames like this. And they've only lost 10 games a couple times in 115 years, and they don't want to join that club. So I think Tulsa's very motivated, as motivated as you can be at 2-8. La Tech should be motivated. I just don't know if Louisiana Tech defensively is what we saw last week or what we saw in weeks prior in regards to stopping the run, because if I mean, that's obviously going to be what Tulsa tries to do, is run Trey Watts down their throat. And if they can get that done, then Tulsa may have a chance to maybe not possess the football for 40 minutes like Rice did, but to hang on to it quite a bit and to run for big yards and keep moving the chains. And that's, I can assure you, there's no mystery at all to what Tulsa will try to do, because, you know, their throwing game is below 50% for the season now. So the one consistent weapon that they've had click is Trey Watts in the run game. So you're going to see a whole bunch of number 22 on Saturday.
Bill, on the defensive side of the ball, neither Brentham Todd or Dwight Dobbins played in the Marshall game. Dobbins, you know, second on the team in pass breakups, has an interception, one of the, you know, leading tacklers. And then Todd with a couple of sacks on the season. Do you know what their availability is for the Tech game this weekend?
A lot more optimistic about Brennan Todd than I am about Dobbins. I mean, he was still on crutches last week, and it just didn't look like the kind of thing he's going to be able to come back from in the span of 2 weeks. It won't surprise me at all that Dwight is done for the year. But I would think Brennan's got a shoulder, and it's tender. But I think he has progressed to the point now where he can at least mount a pass rush and get his arms up and try to knock a ball down. But he's not 100%, but I would think he can play Saturday.
Bill, what have teams been able to do against Tulsa that has been successful against the Golden Hurricane defense?
Well, it just depends on the Saturday. There's been a couple of Saturdays when they got gashed pretty good by opponents' run games. But most consistently, what teams do is just kill Tulsa with a medium-range pass game right in the middle of the field. And if you saw the Marshall game the other night, there were three pass plays on third down, and these were all like third and six or longer type plays. And the middle of the field just opened wide up, and Raheem Cato just cut them up with those, you know, 10 to 15 yard balls that wound up being 30 yard gains. And I've seen that all year from the Tulsa defense. The middle of the field, outside the numbers, they've been better. They've been pretty good in spite of having such young corners. But for some reason, that middle of the field opens up consistently, and they've been torched for big plays all year right down the heart of the field.
That's interesting, because Louisiana Tech doesn't attack the middle of the field very much at all. So something may have to give Saturday if Louisiana Tech wants to use the middle of the field. That'll be something they haven't done all year.
Well, if they watch the same, I mean, those guys know a lot more football than I know. And if I know that that's Tulsa's vulnerable spot, I promise you Coach Holtz knows about it. So I would think that, you know, I mean, La Tech will try to hurt Tulsa on medium length throws, and Tulsa's going to go in and try to run it 55 times and get 350 yards out of it. And, you know, who can stop whom? I mean, there's your key to everything.
And
the motivation factor in a November game, I've seen teams maybe not quit, but I've seen teams severely lacking in motivation when there's nothing really left to play for in November. So this is a character tester for Tulsa, no question.
When I look at the sacks against number in conference games, Tulsa leads the conference along with Middle Tennessee with only 4 sacks in conference games. Has that been a strength for the Golden Hurricane? Is that offensive line?
Yep, it's the best position group in the program. It has been for a while. Last year in 14 games, they only gave up 9 sacks total, and this year through 10 games overall, they're giving up 8, and just 4 in league play. So now that doesn't mean that opponents haven't been able to pressure and hurry Tulsa's quarterbacks, because that has happened more this year than it did a year ago. But in terms of actually getting them on the ground, opponents just aren't able to finish plays like that very often against Tulsa. At the same time, you know, I mean, Tulsa's completing 49.5% of the passes for the season. And this was after the coaches at Blankenship specifically kind of calling a shot in August and predicting they'd be a much more efficient passing game team. And by that, based on the conversations we had for weeks, he was kind of predicting that, that they'd be at least a 60% throwing team, and they've been far from it. So, you know, yeah, it looks nice on paper to have only allowed four sacks in the league. But if you're not hitting your throws,
it's not a tail of the tape.
Yeah, if you're not hitting your throws, who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then whenever you look at Trey Watts, what kind of defenses has he – he hadn't struggled a whole lot this year, so there's not – it's kind of hard to answer this question probably, but what defenses has he struggled against if he struggles?
I don't think any one defense has really stifled Trey specifically. I think there was a stretch at a couple of different times in the year because he's carried the football so much where he got a little worn down. And he's not a very big back. He's a very solid kid, about 5'11", 200. And he is kind of, you know, he's kind of an unusual hybrid guy where he's got some, you know, he's a little bit of a cute back, and he can do some things with change of direction and stuff to escape guys. But he'll also he's also a very physical back. I just think that when Trey and his offensive line are clicking together, then the Tulsa run game in most weeks is going to fare pretty well. And in East Carolina, you know, East Carolina had only given up 80 yards a game in rush yards, and Tulsa went out to East Carolina and cut them up pretty good. And there were other factors that hurt Tulsa a lot, but in terms of just being able to line up and toss it and get yards, they did that all day against East Carolina. So I think Trey, I don't know what kind of professional future that Trey may have, but he has been a fantastic college back for TU.
When you look at this game, I don't make people be this kind of hard to make people do anything. But I like for people to give a prediction of the game Saturday. Would you mind doing that for us?
Would I mind doing what?
A prediction, a point prediction of the game Saturday.
Well, all right. I'll base this solely on the fact that I've seen Rice. So I can envision what Rice did to La Tech. I can envision how they did it. And I know that Tulsa, on a good day when they're not coughing it up a bunch, that's another thing I haven't mentioned is turnovers. Holy smokes, they've been bad on turnovers. But, all right, I'll just presume for the sake of conversation that they hang on to the football or finish no worse than even on turnovers. If that's the case, I think Tulsa can run it pretty good, chew up some time. And Tulsa kind of typically tends to get a big return now and then, and I will pick Tulsa to win the game 23-20.
Well, you're right there with our friends in Vegas, so we appreciate you joining us here, Bill. I hope you make the trip to Ruston and enjoy your time.
Listen, I'm sorry my phone has popped a couple of times, but I appreciate the time with you guys.
You bet, man. No worries.
All right. Thank you.
Bill Haston from the Tulsa World newspaper joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Good stuff from Bill today. We tried to get Chris Harmon from Inside Tulsa Sports, the rival site, but he's under the weather and couldn't join us, so he gave us Bill's number, and thus we had Bill. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little Tulsa, recapping, talking a little bit more about what Bill had to say about Tulsa. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7.
It's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love. Just got paid today, got me a pocket full of change.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King joining me here. Got a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to our friend Rafe on the CollegeSteel.com hotline.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Rafe, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, man, doing really good. Doing really good. Having a good time, except for Tech football. You know, that's a good thing. My life's not totally contingent upon that. If that were the case, I would be, you know, on the ledge, I think.
You'd probably be in a deep depression.
Yeah. Hey, and I don't know if you guys have brought this up. I'm sure you have. You cover every angle. But I heard that Coach Holt said that one of the reasons we lost the game is because we couldn't get off the field on third down. And that's true. I agree with that. But there's another side to that coin, usually, and that is we couldn't stay on the field for more than three downs on offense. And whenever you can't do that, it tends to, especially when you're going to play a physical team like an Army or a Rice that's going to, you know, pound you, it tends to wear you out. And so, it seems like some of the plays were predictable. You know, it's easy to armchair it. I'm no offensive coordinator. It seems like they're predictable, but I will say this. We do not habitually go for a first down until it's third down. And then at that point, sometimes we don't even go for a first down. It doesn't seem like the play's designed to get beyond the first down marker early enough. And so it's how many third downs have we had this year, you know? I mean, it's always going to go to third down because the first couple plays look like they're designed to get us to hopefully a third and short. Am I correct in saying that?
I hate the armchair quarterback. You know that about me. And when I – yes, then they're not going – there's very rarely on third down are the routes beyond the first down marker that we're seeing the throw to. But I, for one, am not somebody that watches the receivers, so I don't know what the other three receivers are doing on their routes. I can remember against Southern Miss, there was a curl route to Sterling Griffin – that hit him in the hands and he dropped it. That was beyond the first down sticks. So there's one for sure. But like I said, I mean, we just
I agree. On third down, we typically, most of the time, we're going to throw it beyond the first down marker, or at least try to. But on first or second down, it seems as though we're satisfied with getting to third down, hopefully a third and short, instead of, you know, every once in a while they may throw a deep ball just to maybe keep them honest on first. But generally, those first couple of plays are plays that are designed to get us in a third and short situation instead of a first down, pick up a first down on first down, or pick up a first down on second down.
If I were to guess, the reasoning behind that is that they're trying to sustain drives instead of getting into a quick score mentality because they can't do it. They need to sustain drives and get a defense tired. I imagine that's the reason they're doing it.
Yeah, that may be true. And the another thing that I noticed, I thought a tendency is that if we have success with a play, we'll probably come back and run the same play, you know, which, you know, I think that teams, you know, there's sometimes whenever you can just line it up and do it, but teams quite often recognize when you've had success and the very next play, you know, they're going to be looking for that. But it's armchairing, and I understand, but it seems like there's a little bit of criticism to be laid at the feet of our, you know, maybe, I don't want to say our scheme, but our just really literally the play callings throughout the game, you know, that what plays are called and when they're called and why they're called. And,
I really do hear what you're saying, but when you have such inconsistent play at quarterback, inconsistent play at offensive line, running backs that are getting that have gotten hurt as much as they've had, receivers that have dropped as many passes as they've dropped, as many fumbles as they've had. I think it's all execution, personally. I think this offense all year has been execution, execution, execution. There's been plays been made to be made. They just haven't been made.
Yeah, that's I believe it or not, I'll accept that, and I do agree to a certain extent that it's, you know, we've got a litany of problems for the personnel and consistency out of individual players and positions and things like that. But there's been a couple of drives this year whenever we came out and seemed like we varied it and we had a certain pace and a certain rhythm and a little certain unknown factor. Even that first drive against Rice, we're, you know, changing our alignment. We're kind of changing who's going to get the ball. We run it to DJ. We do a couple of things that he hadn't seen. And then all of a sudden, I don't remember us getting back in that same type of look, you know.
I agree with you where we didn't see, and we've seen that several times, where we don't see the plays that are successful over the course of the game. I think a lot of times that is contingent upon those injuries that I was talking about. Kenneth Dixon is the centerpiece of that offense. And whenever he went out Saturday, they were kind of left with, well, what do we do now? It was obvious that their plan was to give him the rock 30 to 35 times, but whenever he went out there, they didn't have anybody to give it to 30 to 35 times.
Yeah, and that's true. And I'll say this about Kenneth is, I mean, he is a great running back. I mean, a great competitor, but he's got this king of the hill mentality where he does not like to fall down. Would prefer to show you that you cannot sling him down. And sometimes, you know, it's just better for you physically if you're going to go out of bounds, or if you're going, you get to a certain point where you probably not going to run any further.
Yeah, but that comes with maturity, and he's a sophomore. I have to remind myself every single game that Kenneth Dixon's a sophomore.
That's true, and he is a seasoned sophomore.
He's a seasoned sophomore, but at the same time, like you said, there's some things that he needs to learn. Whenever you've got contact, you got three guys on you, and you've got a first down, and you don't have to score, go down and live to live another down.
Yeah.
Well, Rafe, we really appreciate it, like always, and look forward to talking to you again.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Rafe. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll give our predictions. Louisiana Tech will take on Central Arkansas tomorrow in Conway and on the hardwood. No line that I have seen has been released on that one. If I find one on the break, we'll talk about it on the side. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. When you hear the music ring, well, now you step.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into a little Conference USA preview, then our predictions.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Thursday, Rice will take on UAB in Birmingham. That one won't be pretty.
No, Rice will win that game.
Charles Ross may go for 10 touchdowns.
I don't know about that. I am interested in seeing how Jordan Howard does against the Rice run defense. Rice's run defense is really not all that spectacular, and Howard has looked very good this season.
East Carolina travels to take on NC State in Raleigh.
ECU.
I take ECU there as well. New Mexico State travels to Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic will win that one. Middle Tennessee travels to Southern Miss. Southern Miss will not win that one. Middle Tennessee will win. UTSA travels to North Texas. That'll be a good football game. North Texas will win, though. UTEP travels to New Orleans to play Tulane.
Tulane gets win number 7.
Tulane's not playing real well right now,
though. Tulane gets win number 7, as predicted by me at the beginning of the season.
And this guy likes to toot his own horn.
No more than Jay Ford. Tulane wins this game, gets to 7.
I think UTEP wins this one.
Okay, well, you can. It's okay to be wrong.
Marshall travels to Miami to take on Florida International. That one won't be close.
Oh, man, Marshall could score. Marshall could win that game 63-7.
Yeah, good. Maybe 63-0, honestly.
And maybe so.
Tulsa travels to Ruston to take on Tech. We'll start here.
Tulsa is favored by 3.5 right now. There's so many questions going into this game for Louisiana Tech on both sides of the ball. Kendrick James, Vontarius Dora, you know, still up in the air. Kenneth Dixon, still his status is still up in the air. I'm going to say Tulsa wins this game. I'm going to say Tulsa wins 20-14.
I think Tulsa scores more than 20. I'm going to go 24-14.
You know, it could be. I'll say 21. 3 touchdowns by Trey Watts. All rushing. Maybe 2 rushing and a return or something.
24-14 is where I'm going with this one. That was just a really, really bad loss last Saturday, and it's going to be a tough one for Tech to bounce back from. I know it's senior day. There's a lot of emotion going to be going on Saturday for Tech's entire defensive line, honestly. Lots of seniors on that D-line. They may be looking to prove a point. I hope so. They need this W something fierce. Tulsa's just played a whole lot harder schedule, and they're much more seasoned than Louisiana Tech is, and I think that's going to play a really big factor in the game Saturday. Louisiana Tech, like we said, takes on Central Arkansas tomorrow in Conway. I think Tech probably wins that one pretty handily.
Yeah, there's no line for the game, but
still no line.
I would say
Tech won by 20 something at home last year. They haven't lost anybody.
No,
and UCA replaced their coach in September.
I think Tech wins by 30.
30.
Yeah, same. I think Tech wins by 30.
Wow.
I'm gonna say 30. I'm gonna say 31.
I'm trying to get up to that game, but everybody that I know that's free to has freedom to go do those kind of things, they can't go. So I may be staying in Ruston, but I'm still trying.
What day is that game?
That day's tomorrow. That game would be Wednesday, of which you have the busiest night of your week.
Right. Yeah. Wednesdays are. That's what I hate about the Conference USA basketball schedule. The Wednesday Friday. I can't
Saturday,
make a
Wednesday. Wednesday Saturday most of the time. But yeah, there's some Wednesday Fridays.
I can't make Wednesdays.
You can't make Wednesdays. That's a fact. Well, hopefully we're wrong on our predictions about the Gridiron Dogs Saturday in Joe Eye Stadium. Make your way out there. Say farewell to those Bulldogs that have meant so much to the Bulldog program, and got a raw deal last year, of course. Still stings, I promise you. It probably still stings for the seniors that graduated last year. You know, one kind of a note, if you follow Bleed Tech Blue on Instagram, Jordan Mills, he had a photo that he put up a couple of days ago, and I had to go find it and post it myself. It's him in the end zone. I think it's at Soldier Field in Chicago, and he's holding up two fingers on both hands for 22 for Tyron Duplessis. That's an awesome moment. And this Bulldog senior class and the class last year, and really honestly the junior class, they have not forgotten that day. And Saturday, Louisiana Tech will honor Tyron Duplessis. His family will be in attendance. I hope you will be there early so you can see that and pay your respects to the Duplessis family. That was an incredible young man that was taken away from this earth entirely too soon. Make sure you make your way to Joe Eye Stadium early so you can see that presentation. For Jared King, Joe Dirt, John Tabor, whichever name you choose to call him, or as they affectionately call him in Simsboro, Tack, the man of three names, three entirely different names. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Well, they're going to take next week off for Thanksgiving. Have a blessed Thanksgiving with your families.
been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN.